Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, July the 8th. And let me just give you a quick summary of the weather here in North Texas in the afternoon. It is 95, and it feels like 108. So 95 is the official temperature. 108 is the heat index. So if you're coming to Texas today, or if you're in Texas today, you may want to leave work a little bit later today or a little bit early, so you don't have to deal with the traffic going home. Because when you have temperatures like that, and you get into a traffic jam going home, there's no air conditioning unit in the world, unless you've got a huge automobile or a huge truck or something like that, that is going to keep you cool. So best thing to do is leave early, get out at 4:30 if you can, or just leave at 6 and let the traffic get ahead of you. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about big news out of the Supreme Court, a couple of very interesting decisions that are good news for those of us who believe in religious liberty. We're also going to talk about the National Guard. The National Guard is in Atlanta. The governor of Georgia decided to put the National Guard in, and he did the right thing. But I want to begin with a couple of stories that are happening right now. The president of Mexico is in Washington, D.C. I don't know too much about it so far. I think they're probably going to have a joint press conference. That's usually what they do. But when you look at the fact that the president of Mexico is here, you have to understand what's happening in Mexico. The Mexican economy has been hit very hard by the virus. Now, so has the American economy, obviously. So has the economy of just about every country. But Mexico also had a bad economy to begin with, because for about a year, for much of 2019, let's say, before we hit the virus in the spring of 2020, the Mexican economy had been shrinking a little bit. And a lot of it is just some bad ideas that López Obrador was suggesting, raising taxes on people. And just he comes from a left-center position. So a lot of what he was proposing or saying was scaring off a few investors. But the real thing that is hurting the Mexican economy before the virus, that is, before the virus, what was really hurting the Mexican economy was the insecurity, the personal insecurity in Mexico, you know, the killings. They're killing each other at record numbers down there in Mexico right now. It is absolutely incredible. You may remember about 2 weeks ago that the chief of police of Mexico City, that's a pretty important person in Mexico, there was an assassination attempt on him as he was going to work one morning. I mean, it's a pretty big assassination attempt. They got him, but they didn't kill him. But nevertheless, that shook up a lot of people down in Mexico City. So President López Obrador comes to Washington at a time when his economy is not doing well. There's tremendous insecurity in the country because of all the violence. And then on top of that, of course, you have the virus. So he doesn't come with a lot of, you know, he doesn't have a lot of, let me put it that way, he doesn't have a lot of good cards to play when he sits down with President Trump. So I would like to see both sides really talk a little bit about the economy, obviously, and talk a little bit about the violence in Mexico and see how we could help in that area. A lot of the ways that we could help, frankly, would be to make sure that there's more control on the border, because the weapons going into Mexico are incredible. The money and the weapons going into the country because of the cartels are just absolutely amazing. And a lot of these killings in Mexico are, you know, one cartel against another kind of deal. You know, that you know, those kinds of killings. And that is devastating the country. So I hope they have a good meeting. But I tell you, it's going to be, as I say, President Trump has a much stronger hand in meeting with the president of Mexico than the other way around. Well, there were some important decisions in the Supreme Court today. The first one has to do with the little sisters. We've seen that before. We've heard that before. These are the Little Sisters of Charity. This is an organization of nuns who take care of the elderly. These ladies, I tell you, the work that they do, it's unbelievable, the work that they do. They take care of people, and very often people who don't have families. They just do tremendous work. And much of it for free, or for very little money, to say the least. And they basically, their issue was they didn't want to have to talk about abortion as they're talking to their to the people that they take care of. And the Supreme Court today said, yes, you don't have to talk about abortion. You have a religious liberty not to engage in that. So it's really a very important decision. It's really more of a religious liberty decision than an abortion decision. So I wouldn't misread the judgment of the court here in terms of abortion. But I definitely think this is a huge victory for religious liberty. The other case was a school district, actually a Catholic school, that was simply saying that, you know, that you cannot sue the school over your religious affiliation. And I think that's a big victory, too. I'm not as familiar with that one because I didn't follow it, frankly, as much as the Little Sisters. But in both cases, the thing to understand about both of these decisions is that the court is coming down very strong in support of religious liberty. And that, of course, is essential. And this particular court, this particular Supreme Court, you know, we were disappointed, of course, a few weeks ago with Justice Roberts and DACA. But on three of the biggest issues, the Montana school choice, the Little Sisters, and the Guadalupe school, on those three, I mean, this court came through in flying colors. So if you're a conservative and you voted for President Trump because you wanted to put good judges in the Supreme Court, you got to feel very good today about this court. As I said, they disappointed many of us on DACA. We remember what happened. They really didn't settle the DACA issue. They went down this road of administrative problems and all of that, and hopefully they can deal with that later. But on the three big issues having to do with religious liberty, two big issues on religious liberty, and this one on school, the one on school choice a couple of weeks ago, this court came through with flying colors. So I've got to congratulate the five justices. The five conservative justices came through in flying colors. And, you know, Justice Roberts, what can I say, came through in flying colors. So congratulations. Congratulations to the Supreme Court on three absolutely incredible decisions. And I got to tell you something. The Little Sisters, these sisters are amazing. I just don't know how else to say it. And I'm so happy. I'm so happy that they can go back to work and do the great work that they do. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. I'm so excited about the Little Sisters. I mean, what a great victory that was for religious liberty, but especially for those ladies who do such an amazing job. Well, as you may have heard, the governor of Georgia had enough, as he said, and he put the National Guard in Atlanta to make sure that, you know, the residents of that city did not have to deal with the lawlessness that they've had to deal with. The mayor of Atlanta came out and said, I don't know why we need the troops. Well, if she doesn't know that, I'm sorry, Madam Mayor, if you don't realize what's happening in your city is falling apart. And maybe not the whole city, but certainly sections of the city were falling apart. And the other thing falling apart in Atlanta is the morale of the police officers. And that's on the mayor as well. So I think the governor did the right thing. I think the question that a lot of these residents and many of these cities need to be asking themselves is, why? Why did so many local governments let us down? Why did they fail to protect us when we needed them most? You know, why? Why did they put our lives at risk for whatever reason? I mean, I'm not going to judge these people. I'm not going to say that they didn't care about the people in their city. But the bottom line is that when they were burning buildings, when they were attacking people, when they were destroying property, these governments did not react. These governments did not react. And that, of course, not only cost the life of an 8-year-old girl in Atlanta, but some of these neighborhoods have been totally destroyed. And I'll tell you something, these businesses are not coming back. They never do. Just ask the government of Baltimore if businesses come back when you burn down a city. It doesn't. These businesses simply say, you know what? We're out of here. Too much of a risk. The other thing that happens, too, is that the insurance rates go through the roof. So if you're a small businessman, you know, you simply cannot afford the rates. Now, some of the larger companies like the drugstores and some of the food chains and stuff like that, some of the restaurant chains, they do come back, and that's more for political reasons. They just want to, you know, they just want to show the flag with the local politicians. But those businesses are not the bulk of the job creation in those communities. It's all of those small black and Hispanic businesses and immigrant businesses. Those are the ones who create jobs, and those are the ones who really move those economies. And those were the ones who were not protected. The mayor of Atlanta did not protect the citizens of Atlanta, and that's why the National Guard is in there. And let's hope that we can finally put this thing to rest. Well, the cancel culture is sort of blowing up. It's kind of enjoyable to watch, but it is sad at the same time. The cancel culture, of course, is eating its own. And yesterday there was a letter signed by a bunch of authors and a bunch of liberals saying, maybe we're going too far. Well, maybe they are. But they've unleashed this thing, and I'm not sure if they can put the monster back in the box or whatever the expression is. But they unleashed this thing, and you know, when you've got people who are going to say that you're not woke enough or you're not, you know, whatever enough, well, eventually everybody's going to be canceled. Everybody's going to get canceled, and that's what's happening. You know, like this lady who wrote, the English lady who wrote the famous series of books. I can't think of the name right now, but it was very popular books here recently. I mean, she's outraged by what's happening. She made a statement saying that a woman that a woman is different than, a transgender, that they're not the same biological woman. And they wanted to cancel her like crazy. I can't think. Harry Potter, that's it. Harry Potter, the lady who wrote all those Harry Potter books, they were on her case because she was simply pointing out biology actually is real. But that's what's happening. This cancel culture is starting to eat itself, and it's not going to be fun, okay? It's not going to be fun. But eventually they're just going to eat each other to death. That's what always happens in these revolutions. The revolutionaries eventually destroy each other because, you know, they're basically irrational people, and there's no one person who can take charge and say, okay, everybody behave, and let's take care of the situation. Let me say something good here about this lady, Senator Kelly Loeffler. She is the senator from Georgia, and she apparently, I guess she used to be, or she still is, the co-owner of the basketball league, the women's NBA basketball team for Atlanta, and she's saying that she doesn't want Black Lives Matter on the team's jerseys. She wants an American flag because she wants to unite people rather than talk politics. I think that's great, and I wish, frankly, more owners of every sport would follow that example. This is the time for the American flag. This is not a time for political statements on the jerseys of these players. And on this day in 1950, General MacArthur was appointed in charge of the international troops in Korea. Remember, that was a UN mission. In Korea, he was appointed today by, I guess that would have been Harry Truman or maybe the UN. I don't remember which one actually it was. But anyway, he was appointed today, of course, unfortunately. It didn't last long. He was fired the next year by President Truman. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.